Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White and Chris Hemmelman of Coramdale Church. And every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're taking a break from our conversation on the seven deadly sins, and we're tackling an interesting topic, specifically the death penalty.
This is on our radar, Mike, because about 6 weeks ago, the Nebraska unicameral legislature voted to overturn the death penalty, to repeal it, so the state of Nebraska will no longer practice that. And I actually got more questions about this than I thought I would, just on Sundays in the hallways, people saying, hey, how should I think about the death penalty? And this has been on people's radars in light of both what's happened here in Nebraska and I think what's happened more broadly across the country with people thinking more about this, states reconsidering this. And so there's a longing to have some theological perspective on the death penalty, which is what I hope we can provide in this podcast, is just a little bit of what are some of the theological components that need to go into our thinking about a topic like the death penalty. Let me frame it up very broadly here to start, and then we'll try to get down into the details a little bit. When we talk about the death penalty, we're talking about, number one, an issue, a question of morality. Is the death penalty right or wrong? And more importantly, a question of justice, a question of public morality. So the death penalty, there's two sides of that phrase, right? There's the death side and there's the penalty side. So a penalty is a judicial or a legal arrangement, and therefore we're working in the category of public justice, what is just. And then assuming that we can work out the issues of justice, is it just that we should put someone to death? And so we have both a question of life and death here and a question of justice and ethics here. And those are sort of the broad categories that we are working in. So guys, let's go around the table. Death penalty, thumbs up, thumbs down. Not sure. What do you think? We'll just out ourselves here so our listeners at least know what they should think about where we're coming from.
Without any nuance, I am for the death penalty.
An unnuanced answer. I love it.
Without any nuance.
Yeah, without any explanation of when, what, why, where, how.
Here's my gut. I'm against the death penalty in theory. But when people murder other people, I want the death penalty. So I'm conflicted in my own thoughts.
Well, since I'm Captain Nuance, I do not believe that the death penalty is wrong biblically. I think you can make a very strong case for it as far as it being, in theory, morally permissible and even just. At the same time, I have serious reservations about how it is done in the United States. And just like to use an example, with taxation, as much as I don't like taxation in some ways, I think you can make a biblical case. But how that is actually executed in a society can be very unjust. And so my reservations related to the death penalty now are how it's done, flaws in the legal system, the level of evidence that can be used to convict someone and allow them to be executed for crimes. So I have those reservations.
Okay, so my goal is going to be to win over Dusty White.
Come on.
And to convince the listeners, Chris, that the concerns you have are the actual concerns. Because as I perceive the debate, and again, debate in our society is so frustrating because there's not room for nuance. But what I seem to see happening is I think there are reasons to have exactly the concerns you have. How is this practiced? Is it just in how it's applied? Are there airtight, convictions in place that stand on substantive evidence? And I think because of those practical concerns, and there's been a lot of, we'll talk about some of the very pragmatic, practical problems that have been seen recently with how the death penalty has been applied. Because I think people are quickly rushing from that to, therefore, let's outlaw the death penalty. The death penalty itself is wrong and unjust. And I want to suggest that the Bible actually gives us a middle ground here, that we can be in approval of the death penalty because it is an appropriate application of justice, and still have huge problems with how it's practiced, and even say, in light of the problems with how it's practiced, we should back off from it as a society until we can figure those things out. So I just want to make the case ethically that because of the problems in practice, we shouldn't jump to, therefore, the death penalty is wrong. And actually, there might be – I think this is an open-handed issue. I think there's room for varying convictions here among Christians. But I'm going to – since I have a microphone in front of me, I'm going to try to make the argument that I think is persuasive, which is that the death penalty is, in fact, a biblically just punishment. Now, before I do that, let's start with some of the very clear problems with it. The June 2015 issue of The Atlantic has an expose, a cover story called The Execution of Clayton Lockett. Clayton Lockett was a death row inmate in the state of Oklahoma who was executed last April 2014. His execution went horribly wrong. He was executed by lethal injection. The chronicle of how it went wrong in The Atlantic is troubling and provoking. It's the reporters were there. They watched the whole thing. They did all kinds of background research. It's when you read the article, you come away saying, well, yeah, this is not right. If this is what execution looks like, something has to change. However, what's interesting about that is that lethal injection is used by the majority of states that have the death penalty because it's widely understood to be the most humane form of execution, in contrast to things like firing squads, hangings, the kinds of types of death penalties that have existed in the past.
Even electric chair. Do states even really use electric chair
anymore?
Well,
Nebraska used to, and they they changed to lethal injection.
In the 80s.
Yeah. What's interesting is a lot of states now, the states that are very committed to the death penalty are now, some of them going back to previous forms. So the governor of Utah in March of 2015 reauthorized Utah to use the firing squad in the event that the drugs for lethal injection are unavailable. And if you read this article in The Atlantic, you'll find the reason states are doing this is because the drugs used in lethal injections, companies will not sell them anymore because most of the companies making them don't want the publicity of, hey, this drug that you're going to have used in your surgery, Chris, to put you under is also used to kill people. Like, no drug company wants that publicity, and so these drugs are harder and harder to find. And so states are having to figure out what are we going to do if we believe in the death penalty, but we can't find the method that we have prescribed in order to do it.
That's interesting. Firing squad is the second option in the mind of the governor of Utah. Wow. So it would seem that there's something that sounds especially violent to the firing squad.
It does.
And archaic, but...
So let's go to the biblical concerns here. Most people that the initial sort of resistance I think people have to the death penalty is it seems harsh, right? It seems strong. And if we look at what Jesus said about turn the other cheek, love your enemies as yourself, it would seem to call us to a level of mercy and a level of going above and beyond what would be considered, you know, an eye for an eye. That tends to be most people's concern with the death penalty, and that's an understandable concern. What I think is important in this conversation, at least from my perspective as someone who thinks there's strong biblical reason for the death penalty to exist principially. So I think what I would say is I'm in principle in favor of the existence of the death penalty, though opposed to, I think, some of the ways it's practiced and some of the errors in how it's practiced. But if you go back to Genesis 9, verse 6, remember Genesis, right? Genesis 9, so we're before Abraham, we're before Moses, we're before the people of Israel. God says to Noah, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. And so this has been for centuries the biblical foundation of an understanding of the death penalty is that because human beings are made in the image of God, in cases of murder, in cases when someone has taken the life of another human being, there is an appropriate response to that that is a God-given and God-ordained response that is very much a retributive justice. It's a, you shed this, you took this person's life, therefore we are going to take your life.
What's interesting is that most theologians would see this not as a, we're taking justice out of God's hands, which is how some Christians would object to it. It's like, well, how, you know, we're not giving this person a chance to repent. Maybe, you know, 20 years in prison, they become a believer. Their whole life and worldview changes. Why would we want to prevent that or keep that from happening? But most theologians would say, no, it's not that we're taking justice out of God's hands. It's we're in obedience to God, following what he's prescribed here to say, this is part of how he executes his divine justice in the universe. Again, Paul uses this same argument in Romans 13, which is to say, the reason we as Christians are to submit to the government, even when the government is bad, is because governmental authorities, states, nations, are given by God as part of his common grace, in part of how he orders and governs the world. And so I think it's important in this conversation about the death penalty that we not separate out a Christian ethic from a state ethic and say, well, you know, it's never right for us to put someone to death because that would go against grace or against mercy. I think we have to embrace the fact that God has instituted the existence of a nation, a state, as part of his governing of the world. And the state in Scripture is allowed to practice a different kind of ethic than the individual. As an individual, I'm called to turn the other cheek. I'm called to love my enemies. The state is called to exercise the power of the sword when it needs to. And that's an interesting aspect of God's providential governing of the universe.
So I'm completely with you, completely convinced that biblically, you can make the case that capital punishment is, the death penalty is, a proper form of justice. And I think even Dusty even brought this up. We can viscerally respond and we can sense that. So the shooting in Charleston, I'm sure many people just emotionally visceral feel that the proper justice for someone to do that would be executed. So again, I think the principle side of it here, I think you can make a very strong biblical case. But leading into your other point, then how do we think about the problems with the way this is done? So you brought up the example of the guy in Oklahoma who his execution was botched, or those that are put on death row and the case against them, their conviction was largely circumstantial, or there was just problems with it. And so how are we supposed to think through those issues, even if we have in our mind, okay, I agree with what you're saying principally?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't know that there's good answers there. For the average Christian, there's some sense of we need to be active in working for justice, and that certainly could mean we're activists on these issues, wanting to see states deal with injustice in these areas. For some Christians, it's going to mean getting into places where you're actually in a position of power to do something about this, whether that's a politically elected office or whether that's, you know, a prison warden or something of that nature. But in some regard, right, human justice is always going to be imperfect. And so there's some level of having to work for the ideal while living in the real and living in a broken system that is not going to, that even if we all did agree, oh, principally, this is a okay form of justice, that we're going to live in a world where that's never in 100% of cases is that going to be applied rightly and appropriately. So this is sort of that already not yet tension of living in the midst of what does it mean for us to work for justice? And it's intriguing to me that I think a lot of Christians, or even if you want to broaden and just say a lot of people in society, are arguing against the death penalty because of the problems in practice. They're just saying, well, let's just get rid of it altogether. I don't know that solves the problem, because you still have the problem of murderers. You still have the problem of criminals who now they're going to be incarcerated for their entire life. And so you still have the same problems of justice, appropriateness, equity, fairness, rehabilitation. These problems aren't going away.
And so it's interesting to me that people sort of focus on the death penalty, I think, because it's the thing that puts justice in our face the most and says we have to reckon with, like, this makes us think about justice more than if you put somebody in life in prison. It's sort of like we can forget about that. You know, you haven't thought about anyone who got put in prison 20 years ago. You don't even remember what crime they did. It was 20 years ago. But man, if someone's executed for a crime, that puts it sort of in our face, the reality of justice and the painfulness of justice and the seriousness of justice. I think that's a good thing.
But wouldn't the sort of the counter to that be, but with the death penalty, it's you can't undo that, where you incarcerate somebody and they're sentenced to life in prison. If there it comes about where, oh, there was mistakes made or new evidence, that there's always the possibility for undoing mistake or those issues that you say within the justice system of equity, that those things still exist. And because those problems are there, well, sentencing to life, someone to life in prison allows for mistakes to be corrected without them facing sort of the ultimate punishment. So if there is significant issues with the justice system, then we should not be sentencing people to punishments that essentially put them at victim of those mistakes, and there's no way to undo that.
Agreed. So an immediate move could be to restrict the application of the death penalty judicially to situations like the one in Charleston, where we have a mass murder. There's a guy on camera it's absolutely clear to everyone who did it. There's photos, eyewitness evidence. There's no doubt as to, one, the seriousness of the crimes that he committed, and two, the evidence that exists. Mm-hmm. You know, that'd be a good – we can move the needle, I think, appropriately to, okay, let's restrict where the death penalty is a possible punishment only to cases where, you know, there's a higher standard of or burden of proof perhaps.
Yeah, and I think that's where, at least now anyway, I would say I am in the sense that the threshold for sentencing somebody to death has to be fairly high as far as the level of evidence and the clear-cut nature of the case. But there are those, and I think this is where, I mean, admittedly, I have some libertarian leanings in some ways and some strong leanings, where you can get very cynical, though, and say, because it's always going to be an imperfect system, the government should never be given that much power to execute its citizens. But I think that argument...
Well, then should the people be given? I mean, who should...
Right, exactly. I think that's an argument from cynicism more than an argument from actually thinking through categories of justice. And even, I think it also kind of just gives up. Like, hey, the government's always going to do this wrong. There's no way to really rectify and make the system more just. So let's just kind of, you know, do away with it and be done with it, rather than saying, hey, we do value justice, even those deep forms of justice that require us to execute citizens for crimes. But because we do value equity and we do value human life, that we are going to be very careful and let's work at making the system better, so that when we do need to use these forms of justice, that they are there.
Well, I think that's... it's a sign to me of the lack of moral clarity that we have for people to say, because the death penalty seems immoral, let's get rid of it. That solves the problem. Like, we're still not doing deep moral work. We're, you know, because justice is the issue we're really talking about, right? What is just? So if Mike walks into my household and kills my children, what's a just punishment for that crime? Well, if you just say, well, Mike shouldn't receive the death penalty, great, fine, good for you. We still have the question of what then is a just and appropriate penalty. And so that I'm frustrated that in the broader conversation, people still don't seem to be able to have the hard moral arguments about what is justice. And when someone takes a human life, what should the appropriate retribution be that's appropriate to that? And I think Genesis 9:6 does give us a foundational starting point. The other interesting thing that you and I were talking about before we turned on the mics, Mike, was that in every culture, right, every culture has some form of the death penalty, even if it's just you kill my family member, so I kill your family member, you know, sort of that old school tribal justice, vigilante justice kind of a thing. This is in every culture, people realize, man, the taking of a life is a serious offense. That's why even in the Old Testament, you had cities of refuge, right? Of like, oops, I accidentally killed your brother. I get to go to the city of refuge and be protected from the consequences of that act until the justice can be sorted out. So it's not, we're not talking about a uniquely Western, uniquely modern form of punishment, even though the ways we practice it in the United States tend to be modern. The moral inclination that murder should be punishable in some very direct and significant way by the taking of the life of the person who committed murder seems to go back to the sort of the dawn of civilization.
So, Bob, would you say that you're for the death penalty when it involves murder or other intense crimes?
Yes, I think only, yeah, I would say only, I mean, again, Genesis 9:6 is my starting point, so I'm saying whoever sheds the blood of man. Mm-hmm. And I would say not, maybe not in every case of murder even, maybe only in cases where, A, it's an egregious kind of murder, you know, murder of children, murder of innocents, murder of multiple people. You know, I'm not sure that in every case that's the right form of punishment. I would say, yeah, only in that case should this be an option.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's another thing that in this discussion that seems to in some ways be a shift is going back to your point about how we understand justice and what is a just retribution for killing someone, where a lot of the argument here is looking at the inhumane nature of the death penalty, or at least with lethal injection, where it seemed like previous arguments were related to, no, the better way to deal with this is like rehabilitation. And so getting at people in life imprisonments, we can rehabilitate this person through education or whatever it may be. And so that was seen as the more just and effective way to counter these egregious crimes. And so I think that's, there just seems to be, I could be wrong, I haven't been reading all of the what's being said about it now, but it seems to be that the argument has shifted a little bit. But is that, I think it's an interesting question, is rehabilitation justice?
No.
Sounds like redemption, like a striving for something better than what we currently see as reality.
Yeah, it seems to be operating in a different category.
Yeah.
Redemption instead of retribution or justice.
Yeah, and it's interesting because even the word retribution maybe is the wrong word, because retribution is more of a personal category, and justice is more, you know, the classic justice is blind, right? Justice is just weighing the moral equity of the situation appropriately.
So which, this is a little bit of a, back to your original point of the principle side of it, which Christian traditions seem to argue, try to argue biblically that the death penalty is unjust?
Well, let's talk about the pro-life argument, because some people would say, if you're going to be pro-life, then be pro-life all the way. I would say that's a misapplication of the principle of life, because we're not talking about the unjust taking of life. We're talking about the just taking of life. So a pro-life position when it comes to abortion, when it comes to euthanasia, we would consider all of those to be unjust taking of life. In my mind, the death penalty is a question of justice, not a question of caring about life or wanting to preserve life. We are taking a life. The only reason for it being taken is because the person has taken the life of another.
Chris, to answer your question there and to dovetail there on the pro-life thing, Catholic bishops in Nebraska issued a statement criticizing Ricketts on his veto, saying that we remain convinced that the death penalty does not deter crime, nor does it make Nebraska safe or promote the common good in our state. So I'm not an expert on what the Catholic thinks about the death penalty, but I think they would say be pro-life or not, you know, go all the way or go big, go home, that kind of thing.
Well, I would say there's a strong, in the Anabaptist tradition, there's a strong pacifist tradition, and those people are probably going to be opposed to the death penalty. And that, So it'd be interesting to if any of you listeners hold that position and would love to come on board and talk about it, tweet us, because we'd love to put a microphone in front of your face and have further conversation about this. It'd be interesting to just hear some of those moral arguments. But I think that if you – I think there's a sort of a reduction argument here that would say, for instance, if you're okay with the government, the U.S. government – going after militants in Iraq, ISIS militants, with a drone strike or with a Green Beret attack, whatever, in order to both execute justice and protect the national interests, then in my mind, I'm not clear on the difference between that and the death penalty. If we're okay with the government having the power of the sword in that circumstance, the government should also have the power of the sword in executing its own citizens only in cases of very serious crime. And in my mind, if we're, you know, that's why pacifism, I think, is a, either you have to be a consistent pacifist or you have to be a consistent advocate of biblical justice. In my mind, if you say, well, I got no problem with drone strikes against the ISIS militants, but let's not have the death penalty, that seems to me to put you in a precarious position, and I'd want to understand more the nuances of what makes one different from the other, because in both cases it is the government exercising a Romans 13 power of the sword in the interest of its citizens, which seems to be a legitimate function that God has given that government for the protection of the people under its realm. It's a good point, Dusty, that the Catholic bishops are making. I don't buy the argument that the death penalty is a great deterrent or that it, you know, minimizes crimes or makes anyone safer. But I would only say that because it's so slowly applied. I think actually if you had a very swift and clear standard by which the death penalty was applied, I think it actually would affect the public perception and probably be a deterrent. The fact that we live in such a weird culture where some states have it and some states don't, and in the states that do have it, it's appealed 700 times and it's 20 years before, you know, a crime is actually punished this way. It just, it makes it hard for it to actually have any, you know, any weight as a deterrent. But I do think it could have that in a, if it were justly, swiftly, and consistently applied.
Yeah, that's a good point. If I received the same punishment that I executed on somebody else, instead now criminals thinking, well, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to get locked up for 20 to 30 years or until I die and, you know, eat normal food all day long and have some buddies in prison and play cards. You know, they don't see that as punishment.
Yeah.
And so you're making a good point. If we were swift on punishment, maybe things would actually deter crime.
Just as a last point, I think, what is interesting, that it seems to be, as a nation, we are becoming less enamored with the death penalty. There is another Atlantic article from the end of June that was just talking about how while the death penalty is legal in most states and is on the books in most states, the number of instances. And what was interesting is it really breaks down county by county and is dependent upon the prosecutor if he will push for the death penalty or not. But it just it seems to be the frequency with which people seek the death penalty in this country is decreasing. And I'm not making a moral judgment on that, just making a statement of fact.
So if you're a listener, I hope this helps you think more about this subject. It's certainly a subject that it's important for Christians to be thoughtful on, both in having a conviction of conscience and also in how can we be active in society in appropriate ways to bring about a right application of justice. And so I don't imagine every person listening necessarily agrees. I hope I've been persuasive in some of the points that I've made from Scripture. And again, if you would like to bring forth a different perspective and hash this out in a little more detail, we'd love to create that conversation. So the goal here was just sort of to engage the topic and begin to give some contours for how to think about it as Christians.
That's going to do it for this week's conversation. We invite you to join the conversation by tweeting us at Coram Deo Omaha.
At Coram Deo Omaha.
Please tweet us. And we'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.